Professor Dumbledore has granted me permission to start this little dueling club.
And with that, welcome to the Dueling Club, learning one spell at a time.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Dueling Club. This is Jen.
And I'm Al.
And we're back! Yay!
Yes.
So, we were just here.
Yes.
But for you, it's going to be Friday when you hear this. I hope you had a great week. Right? Yeah. We're actually... Remember how a couple episodes ago I told you that the boyfriend and I are going to be taking a little mini vacation in a little bit?
Yes.
And where we were supposed to go back to the resort that we wanted to go to. They don't have any more rooms. So we're going to a resort like literally 2 minutes away.
Okay.
So same area, same kind of amenities, but we need it. Like... I don't know about everybody else right now, but yes, we're still working. Thank goodness we still have jobs, but we've been very busy and there's been a lot going on otherwise that it's a good thing to take a couple of days off.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to get away. Our older sister's birthday's coming up as well, so we have, and we're going to go away for a few days after that, so everything is going to be okay. So, yeah.
If you hear the pitter-patter,
that's the dog. If you hear a little bit of talking, it's our nephew. He's just chilling. But, you know, life is life.
Yes.
And sometimes you have to record around life.
Yes. So, okay. Basically, so you have context in case you hear people talking, is our eldest sister went out to go do something.
Yes.
And her son misses her. So right now we're in the dining room of the family house, and they're in, like, the offshoot thing, and they're just chilling. So if you hear them talking, that's what that is. My mom and my nephew.
Yeah, and he's missing his mom, so he's having a moment, and
yes,
we're okay with that.
Yes.
We love him, and good families are supposed to be supportive of one another.
Yep, and after we're done recording, we're probably going to hang out with him for a little bit so he feels better.
He's...
So, if you don't like the background noise of this one, sorry, but I'm not sorry.
Because family first.
Yes.
Unlike the Dursleys, who care nothing for Harry.
Yes.
Do you like this segue?
I like it.
Okay, so we are in season 4, episode 3.
Chapter 3.
Of Harry Potter and...
The Goblet of Fire.
Dun, dun, dun. Yes. Again, all of this are ominous from now on. So it's kind of what we have to do.
I need to know.
So the name of this chapter is
The Invitation.
Again, it sounds like
ominous.
Something's about to go wrong.
Yeah, little ominous.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So from what happened in the last chapter, Harry woke up from having a really bad dream. He goes, really bad dream where... He actually saw what happened in Little Hangleton.
Yes.
In the old Riddle house.
Or he's not sure what he saw.
We know what he saw, but he's not sure of what he saw. And he doesn't know how to deal with what he saw.
Mm-hmm.
But he does write Sirius a letter that he's going to send along with Hedwig.
Yes.
So we start this chapter with Harry going downstairs into the kitchen,
yeah,
where... Aunt Petunia and Uncle Vernon and Dudley are sitting. And Dudley is having none of what's happening. So here's what happened. When Dudley came back from school, well, let's start with this. Dudley has always been bigger than Harry. All of Harry's clothes is hand-me-downs, and it's swimming on him. Partially because they neglect him and don't actually take care of him, and partially because... They don't take care of their son either, but in a different way.
Yes. They deny Harry basic...
Everything.
Everything, basically.
Yes.
And they give Dudley too much of everything.
Yes. So they're hurting both of them.
Yes.
But they don't see it that way, because Aunt Petunia always talks about how Dudley is just big boned, and he's just a little puppy. It's just puppy fat. It's fine. And he's a grown boy who needs plenty of food.
Until this year, when they got his report back from the school, in which they could write off everything. Bad grades? Oh, well, he... What was it? What was the exact words that Uncle Vernon said? He needed, like, a swatty Nancy of a son or something like that?
Something like that.
And then Aunt Petunia was like, oh, the teachers just don't understand him. He didn't
want some swatty little Nancy boy.
There you go.
For a son.
Aunt Petunia didn't... was like, oh, the teachers just don't understand him. They could write off the notes of bullying because...
No, he's just a boisterous little boy, but he wouldn't hurt a fly.
Exactly. Until...
Say that to Harry and Harry's nose and Harry's knees and Harry's glasses.
Yes. Basically. But a very carefully worded note at the bottom of the report mentioned that he's gotten so big that the dresser for the school no longer has knickerbockers big enough for him because he... And this is Harry's thing, not what the note said, because if this wasn't a note, it'd be mean. Dudley has reached the size of a small killer whale.
Yes. So, after what is labeled as many tantrums, and arguments that shook Harry's bedroom floor, the new regime had begun. What the regime? Eating less. No, the refrigerator... No longer had any of Dudley's favorite
sweets,
things.
Burgers, fizzy drinks. What else?
Cakes.
Yes.
Chocolate bars.
And it was now full of fruits and veggies and...
The sort of things that Uncle Vernon called rabbit food.
Yep.
I'm telling you, a good salad is delicious.
Luckily for Harry, though, when he heard of this new dietary lifestyle they were going to lead because of the small killer whale, he reached out to the people closest to him, his friends and Sirius and Hagrid, and mentioned the dilemma, that the situation that he was currently facing, and they rose to the occasion spectacularly.
From Hermione's house, he got a large box stuffed full of sugar-free snacks, because obviously her parents are dentists.
From Hagrid, we got the rock cakes, which Harry hasn't touched because...
He's like, no, I know Hagrid's cooking.
He likes to have all of his teeth, basically.
Yes. Mrs. Weasley sent the family, owl with an enormous fruit cake and an assortment of meat pies. And he got four birthday cakes.
Yep.
One from Ron, Hermione, one each from Ron, Hermione, Hagrid, and Sirius. He still had two of those left. He still had some of the meat pies. So when he got Dudley's breakfast, because everybody's eating on this diet now, because poor Dudley can't do it by himself.
It's because if you see everyone doing it, it makes it easy to do it yourself.
Yes.
So, I get it. But look at Harry. He doesn't need to lose weight.
No.
He's literally a stick.
But he has all of this stuff hidden in his room. He actually has a floorboard in his room that he can pull up and hide everything under. His stash of goodies. So, he's down there, and he's been eating his grapefruit for breakfast without complaint. Uncle Vernon looks at it, and he's like, is this it? And Aunt Petunia gives him this look like, you better do it. And he sighs, and he picks up his spoon.
And, is it the doorbell, or is it that? Okay, the doorbell goes off, he goes to check it. Dudley decides to help his dad finish his breakfast and eats his grapefruit.
So he's already eaten his portion.
Which is larger than everyone else's.
He's now eaten the remainder of his father's portion.
Yes.
And Harry got the smallest portion of all. Yes. Because, I mean, it wouldn't be right if Harry got the same size portion. Like, really? I don't understand. Why are they so mean to him? At this point, I'm just like, they're just mean to be mean.
And what was at the door is a letter arrived from Molly Weasley, this is Ron's mom, obviously, which was surprisingly sent through Muggle Mail rather than by Owl Post. To Uncle Vernon's dismay, the envelope is nearly completely covered in stamps, and the postman has rung because this is unusual.
And we all know how much Uncle Vernon hates unusual things.
Yes.
So,
The letter reads, let's see. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Dursley, we have never been introduced, but I'm sure you have heard a great deal from Harry about my son Ron, which not really, because Harry can't talk about them.
Because he's magical and they hate everything that's different?
Precisely. As Harry might have told you, the final of the Quidditch World Cup takes place this Monday night and my husband, Arthur, has just managed to get prime tickets through his connections at the Department of Magical Games and Sports. So Harry, of course, has not told him about Quidditch because it is a sport played on broomsticks, which he tries to mention shortly thereafter when he gets asked about it, and he gets stopped immediately almost. I do hope you will allow us to take Harry to the match, as this really is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Britain hasn't hosted the Cup for 30 years, and tickets are extremely hard to come by. We would, of course, be glad to have Harry stay for the remainder of the summer holidays and to see him safely onto the train back to school. It would be best for Harry to send us your answer as quickly as possible in the normal way, because the Muggle postman has never delivered to our house, and I'm not sure he even knows where it is. Hoping to see Harry soon, yours sincerely, Molly Weasley. So, P.S. I do hope we've put enough stamps on.
So first, if it happened in 1994...
Yes.
1994, mm-hmm. on Monday, was actually August 22nd. So,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking I'm going to go with that instead of the 25th. So we said the 25th earlier. I'm going to go with the 22nd. I'm going to go with the 22nd. That's okay.
I don't know why you checked.
It's the inquisitive nature that I have, that I have to check to make sure that everything is okay. That's all.
Yeah.
So, let's get into that. Of course, Harry hasn't talked about Ron, because even if he could, they wouldn't listen.
They wouldn't want to hear it, and would they actually commit it to memory? Do they care enough? Not even a little bit.
No.
Let's not pretend.
Okay. And then she talks about Quidditch. Who cares about Quidditch? They don't care about Quidditch.
They don't even want to hear about Quidditch. Harry tries to get into it.
Yes. And she's like, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Ooh, imagine denying Harry Potter a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the Dursleys. That's like
Christmas.
That would
be like Christmas for them.
Exactly.
Yes. And the normal way?
Which Harry goes to explain because Vernon asks...
What does she mean by
Owl
that?
Post. Yeah. Yeah. But I think it's really funny how the envelope is described.
Yes.
So it's, every bit of it was covered in stamps except for a square inch on the front into which Mrs. Weasley had squeezed the Dursley's address in minute writing. Just the thought of it makes me so happy.
And this is Sassy Harry. She did put enough stamps on them.
Oh my gosh. So Harry asks if he can go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's obviously the dilemma in Vernon's mind because he's just like, oof.
It actually says a slight spasm crossed Uncle mm-hmm. Vernon's large purple face. So, like, he's happy. He's happy. Okay, he's annoyed that he's now considered not normal by the postman.
Well, it's this. Harry thought he knew what was going on behind the mustache, a furious battle as two of Uncle Vernon's most fundamental instincts came into conflict. Allowing Harry to go would make Harry happy, something Uncle Vernon had struggled against for 13 years. On the other hand, allowing Harry to disappear to the Weasleys for the rest of the summer would get rid of him 2 weeks earlier than anyone could have hoped, and Uncle Vernon hated having Harry in the house. To give him something, give himself thinking time, it seemed, he looked down at Mrs. Weasley's letter again, and then the barrage of questions.
So it would make sense that they would be leaving, because he's leaving Friday. So Saturday, Sunday, okay. So it would make sense that he would be leaving on the 19th,
mm-hmm.
or thereabouts, because around 2 weeks later is the 1st of September,
yes.
and that's when they leave for Hogwarts. Yeah. So, see, my dates are correct. It still works.
The little things. Okay.
We need continuity, people. We need continuity.
Anyway. So, he asks Harry who Mrs. Weasley is, and then Harry mentions that they've met each other previously.
You've seen her before.
Yeah.
Like, she's the one who's always at the train station picking up my friend.
As the most ironic line of a thought process in the world, he's like, that little dumpy woman, look at your son, brother, and look at yourself, please.
Yeah.
Mr. Kettle, relax.
Yeah. And then he's like, Quidditch? What's
pot,
that?
Pot polemic of a black. Anyway.
Yeah. And he's like, it's a spore played on broom. All right.
And then the normal way, which is outpost.
Yes.
So then Harry feigns, you know, oh, okay, you're not going to let me go. Well, I guess I'll finish my letter to Sirius then.
Well, he actually says, how many times do I have to tell you not to mention that unnaturalness under my roof? You stand there in clothes Petunia and I have put on your ungrateful back. And he's like, only after Dudley finished with them.
Coldly. Like, Harry's getting attitude with them now, which I appreciate. He's coming into his own. He doesn't have to stay with them. Mm-hmm. At this point in time, he has enough money in Gringotts. He can probably go and rent a place or go and buy a place.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't need to deal with this crap.
Yes. Agreed. And he's like, I will not be spoken to like that. And Harry's like, okay, fine. I can't see the World Cup.
Okay, can I go see the then? World Cup. Yeah.
Only I've got a letter to Sirius I want to finish. You know, my godfather. And I'm like, that's right, says Harry. You let him know. You let him know that you're going to write to your godfather that now Uncle Vernon is denying you a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Yep. And now Vernon is terrified because,
again, the color leaves his face.
Yes, convicted murderer, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, escaped convicted murderer.
Yes. Well, yes, said Harry casually. It's been a while since he heard from me. And, you know, if he doesn't, he might start thinking something's wrong. So then,
I would have gone, like, really looked at him, not blinking, and then gone, something's wrong, and tilted my head like, what you got to say now?
Oh my god.
I would have been that kid.
And no, you can see.
I would have.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish I could have been that kid.
I wish too. Right? God. I just imagine all the, like, ridiculous things people say to their parents, and I was like, I could never.
No.
I wouldn't exist right now if I was like that.
Right?
Anyway. Harry can see the wheels turning again in Uncle Vernon's face, in his mind.
Yeah, and then finally he says, well, all right then. You can go to this World Cup thing. You write and tell these Weasleys there to pick you up, mind. I haven't got time to go dropping you off all over the country. And you can spend the rest of the summer there. And you can tell your godfather. Tell him you're going. And Harry's okay then. It says brightly, okay then.
That was an excellent breakfast, wasn't it? Said Harry. I feel really full, don't you?
And Dudley's like, are you kidding me? The face. Are you kidding me?
Then Harry runs up to his room to reply to the letter. Mm-hmm. When he opens the door, boom, into the side of the head is a little flying ball of feathers. And it happens to be a little owl carrying a letter.
And he remembers the owl. It's the little owl that had dropped off the first letter to Harry from Sirius.
Yeah,
when he was on the train.
Yeah. Harry found the letter on the floor, picked it up, read it, and it read, Harry, Dad got the tickets. Ireland versus Bulgaria. Monday night, Mum's writing to the Muggles to ask you to stay. They may already have the letter. I don't know how fast Muggle post is. Thought I'd send this with Pig anyway. Harry stared at the word Pig, then looked up at the tiny owl now zooming around the light fixture on the ceiling. He had never seen anything that looked less like a pig. Maybe he couldn't read Ron's writing. He went back to the letter. We're coming for you whether the Muggles like it or not. You can't miss the World Cup. Only Mum and Dad reckon it's better if we pretend to ask their permission first. If they say yes, send Pig back with your answer pronto, and we'll come and get you at 5 o'clock on Sunday. If they say no, send Pig back pronto, and we'll come and get you at 5 o'clock on Sunday anyway. Hermione's arriving this afternoon. Percy started work. The Department of International Magical Cooperation. Don't mention anything about abroad while you're here, unless you want the pants bored off you. See you soon, Ron.
Okay, so let's break down this letter, because I think it's pretty awesome. So, Ron is super excited because, of course, like in Mrs. Weasley's letter, it's been 30 years since England has hosted a World Cup.
And one of his favorite players, which is a little bit of a spoiler, but we'll find out in two chapters.
We don't have to mention the person's name.
No.
But one of his favorite players is on one of the teams,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see this person!
And another small spoiler, they have great seats.
They have amazing seats.
Which, in the movie, why do they have such bad seats?
Because they want to play off the fact that the Weasleys poor. Are poor.
Dude! Oh, it makes me so mad. Because then Lucius gets more remarks off in the movie about why they're so poor and stuff. Like, it kills me.
Yes. But it's one of those things, it's a movieism. It's one of those things that, unfortunately, the movie takes too much liberty in, that they want to drive home the point as often that they can, that the Weasleys are poor, mm-hmm. that the Malfoys are rich, that the Malfoys are mean and rude and discriminate against poor people and discriminate against non-magical people
mm-hmm.
and discriminate against Muggleborns and half-bloods and anything that isn't a pure blood wizard. So, yeah. So, the makers of the movie just want to drive that point home as often as they can.
But they drive it home in the book, too, where it's like, you have to pull a lot of favors, and then Lucius Hume comes and is like, oh, well, it'll never happen again, so enjoy the experience. Like, it still has the same effect.
Yes, but the movie makers want to make it abundantly clear beginning, haha, you're poor. And it's like, no, that's not cool. That's not how it is. No.
No.
And the fact that he never even knew what the new owl's name was going to be. So he's like, pig? This isn't a pig.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't look like a pig. Okay, whatever. I guess he'll explain it to me later.
I mean, I think the name is cute.
I think the name
we'll find the full name later.
Yes. But I think it's a cute little nickname, too.
Yeah, it is.
You know, what if he reminds him of what mm-hmm. a little piglet looks like?
So Harry scrawls out his answer to Ron really quick. Like, I've got permission, but don't worry.
We're not there yet.
Okay.
So then it's like...
Oh, and we're still in the literature.
If you say yes, send Pig back with your answer pronto, and we'll come get
and
you at 5.
And if they say no, we're still going to come get you at 5.
And it's reminiscent of the fact that in Chamber of Secrets, they hadn't heard from Harry all summer, so they're like, we're going to steal the enchanted Ford Anglia and kidnap you.
Well, that one's different. That was, like, lack of communication. This time, it seems like they've been sending letters back and forth a little more often. But it's going to be like...
We're picking you up no matter what.
Yeah, they can't say... This isn't, like, a no kind of situation.
Yeah.
They can say no, but no means yes in this situation. I'm sorry.
Like, so sorry
only
for
specifically
you.
In this situation. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that we find out that Hermione's coming in earlier...
Mm-hmm.
And she's already going to be there. That's great, because I'm sure Hermione's never been to an actual, like,
professional
a non-Hogwarts Quidditch
match. Quidditch
match.
Yeah, a professional Quidditch match. Same for Harry, though. This is Harry's first one as well. And, like, imagine your first time being exposed to a professional sport
is the
World Cup. That's, like, amazing.
That would be, like, you and I going our first official soccer... Well, I've already been to soccer matches, like, official
ones. Yeah, I've been to.
But our first official one being the World Cup.
That'd be awesome. So, Harry... I mean, that's it for the letter, right? I don't know exactly too much.
We find out that Percy has started working in the Ministry of Magic.
Just like his dad,
but in a different department. Which makes sense that he's in international magical cooperation, because he was always very... To me, he always felt like he was trying to mediate things and figure things out, and he was head boy, and then he became prefect. And
I think it's because it's probably a department that doesn't have too many people interested in it. People who are interested in it are probably few and far between, and so that gives him more opportunity to sort of climb the rank when there's not a lot of people vying for a higher position. I think that comes to play with his want for authority and importance in his life.
Yes. But we also get the whole, don't mention anything about abroad while you're here unless you want the pants bored off of you.
Well, that's the thing, is that it seems like Percy likes to dive into subjects a lot and then give his opinion and then some on them.
And he never stops. When he was a head boy, when he was prefect Percy, head boy Percy, it was just terrible.
When Harry needed to know what class he should take,
For in my opinion, you should take blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
Exactly. It was like literally an entire paragraph of him just talking. It's like, wow, Percy, yeah. Please shut up.
Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah. So Harry writes his reply, sends it back with Pig.
And Pig is just flying around, he's just so twittering madly, and like Hedwig's not having any of it. She's like, stop, ew.
Yeah, basically.
In owl version, which is basically just a disapproving look.
Yes, which is speaks volumes.
Yes.
Harry finishes his letter to Sirius, including the fact that he's going to be staying at Ron's for the remainder of the summer and going to the World Cup.
Yes.
That's where he can be reached. And then attaches the letter to Hedwig's little footsies and off she goes.
And she hoots. So when Pig leaves, Pig is like, woohoo, leaving, and just dashes out.
Mm-hmm.
When Hedwig leaves, Hedwig, like, puts out her foot
in a dignified
manner, stays unnaturally still, like, this is the way it's supposed to be done. Don't forget, I'm the good owl.
Yeah, basically. I love it. And that's that. And Harry has an actual thought where it's like, nothing can take away from this, not even the thought of Voldemort. It's like,
those are damning last words.
Famous ones. Famous, yes. Very.
Like, that. Whenever you're watching a movie or reading a book and someone says, what could possibly go wrong? That's exactly what he just did.
Yeah, no, that's the same energy. That's wrong. Don't do that.
Don't ever.
Even in real life, don't think that, because the universe is just like, okay.
Oh, no. Remember when we used to work at the big old company that we no longer work at because we dislike it and it was terrible?
Yes.
And
precisely,
there were certain customers' details that would come in, and you would say something like, oh, it's been really calm. We haven't gotten something from this customer lately. Boom! Something from that customer would show up that instantaneously.
That even happened for work, where we work now, where I'm like, everything is calm. Nothing is wrong. I'm going to have such a relaxing day. I'm just going to do what I got to do and answer some questions, and I'm good. And then 5 minutes later, oh, wow, that's incredible. I have 50 emails now and like 200 orders to do. Oh, my God, it's great. Obviously, an exaggeration. Not the 50 emails part. But it's just like, wow, great. Yes, wow. Wonderful. I want to die. Anyway.
Yeah, that just goes to show you that you really can't, under any circumstances,
challenge the universe.
No. Do not count your chickens before they're hatched. Do not just assume that everything is going to go well. Because, I mean, especially in the Harry Potter world, in the 3 years he's been in the magical world,
mm-hmm.
when has anything gone according to plan?
True.
Ever. In the first year, teachers, grown adults, grown witches and wizards created an obstacle, a magical obstacle course to keep something safe that they believed couldn't be kept safe in the Wizarding Bank.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh no, we'll set up tests and tricks and this and that. Three 11-year-olds got through it.
I think that the Wizarding World...
Well, technically they were all 12, except for Harry.
Yes. I think that the Wizarding World is ruled by Murphy's Law.
Everything that can go wrong will.
Exactly. That's just how this universe is built.
Yeah, they're like, let's guard this with everything we can.
How unlikely is this to happen? It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
What was it in second year? It was... No, the Chamber of Secrets, that doesn't exist. Not only does it exist, but it was hidden for centuries.
There's a monster living in it, actual monster.
An actual monster that is trying to kill people.
Yes.
But I mean, no, it doesn't exist. Why would Salazar
Slytherin put that
secret chamber with a giant monster in it?
I think the weirdest thing for me is that it exists while being tied to a bathroom.
So I'm in a bunch of different groups.
Yes.
And one of them pointed out plumbing was invented centuries after all of this happened. So somebody asked, how do you think that this is even possible? And they said, well, magic. Like, that's literally the short answer. Yeah. They, of course, had to put plumbing in because plumbing was invented and it was way better than what they were doing before. But they put it in and they enchanted it to be able to hold whatever capacity it needs to hold for the hundreds of students that are there.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, Harry's class tends to be is smaller than the other classes,
mm-hmm.
but these are the kids that were born during the first Wizarding World. Wizarding War, my bad, not world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a lot of young people died in that first Wizarding War. They weren't having kids as often.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at a much smaller class. But even in that much smaller class, we have Dean, Seamus, Neville, Harry, and Ron. Five, right?
I think I read somewhere that Harry's, the Gryffindors coming in with him, were him and eight others in total.
Well, I'm not counting the girls.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying, though.
Yeah.
Like,
so that means four girls.
Mm-hmm.
Five boys, four girls. That's nine. There's four houses. We're talking, if they have the same numbers in all the houses, we're mm-hmm. talking 36. So let's round up.
For an 40. Entire year.
For an entire year. There's 6 years.
Seven so totals. But including them.
Yeah. There's 7 years. Let's count 30. Those.
Yeah.
40 times 7 is 280. Yes.
Yes. That's it.
That's still hundreds of people and the teachers. Mm-hmm. So let's say 300 altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers, groundkeepers, all of that. 300 people year-round using plumbing.
Yeah.
So they have to magically keep it going.
So I think what
I think they would just, the pipes would just expand when this giant monster was going through because they've been magicked to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
And the plumbing would have to, some Slytherin had to be involved. Some Salazar Slytherin related person had to be involved to be able to connect everything to the Chamber of Secrets.
Maybe. It just, it's a very interesting plot point that I wish was addressed
yes.
by J.K. to understand it more. Because I think that the general consensus is that there were dark wizards who helped in the construction of parts of Hogwarts as well. Because, like, you don't know who's a dark wizard and who's not.
Yeah.
Really.
They were like, hey, so my name is John, mm-hmm. and I'm a dark wizard.
Yeah, no, not how it works.
No, they didn't put it on their name tags?
No,
no. Okay.
It's on their light, the wizarding license, if there's such a thing. It's, you know...
They're like, alignment dark.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
No?
So I'm assuming that what happened is that Salazar Slytherin probably left some kind of instruction to his descendants. And it was like, there is this chamber with this monster to purify the school. I need you to kind of make it work.
Yeah. I need you to kind of finagle something so that if anything were to be added later,
yeah.
that this can be retrofitted in.
Something weird.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Yeah, I don't know. It is a weird plot point.
Maybe he wrote it in his will, because we know that from later on, this isn't a huge spoiler, but, like, the Wizarding World has wills.
Yes. I mean, just like anyone else,
yeah.
you can have wills.
They're people.
Yeah. I'm assuming... Well, we know that they were the four most powerful witches and wizards of their time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so crazy to think that he made this hidden chamber that would have, like, a rule to it that, like, no matter what happens above, this must be connected to an active
way out?
Yeah, basically.
And plumbing would be considered an active way out.
And it's not hard to think that that it got enchanted to only respond to parcel mouth. Parcel tongue, because if you speak it, you're parcel mouth. Parcel tongue.
That was actually something on... I think I mentioned it before. It was a quiz question on something. Oh, I didn't, because we just watched it a couple days ago. Where it was like... On trivia...
No, you did. We talked about it.
And I was like, ha-ha! You guys got... They both got it wrong. Because both of them said parcel mouth. But it was a... What... or what is the language where you can speak to snakes? And I was like, no, it's the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And the boyfriend was like, I would have gotten that wrong because he said the wrong one too. Mm-hmm. But it makes sense that he knew what it was. Mm-hmm. He just, everybody responded too quickly.
Yeah, people, that's basically what happens. The same thing I told you about the quiz thing that we used to do.
Yeah.
So it happens.
Yes.
So that's that. We're kind of done.
Yeah. I'm glad that he still has the food. I'm surprised that he's figured out how to make it last.
I didn't mention he did get a chunk of cake and have it happily.
Well, yeah, because all he had was a tiny little sliver of grapefruit.
Yeah, but I'm saying, though, he's happy he can go to the Quidditch World Cup. So he celebrated by getting some of the birthday cake and having it.
That he's had for a month now, almost. 3 weeks. Let's give it 3 weeks. He's had it for almost 3 weeks.
They've been enchanted. They're still fresh.
They better be, because that's under a floorboard.
Okay, that's disgusting. I'm going to go now. Bye.
Bye, guys. See you later. We really appreciate you for staying with us. And see, we were really good. There were no spoilers this time.
Yes.
None at all.
Await our next owl.
Woohoo!
Zubai.
Bye-bye.